Joshua's Long Day, and NASA Computers by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. A story that excited many Christians for the past generation claims that NASA's electronic computers discovered evidence of Joshua's Long Day back in the 1960s. Here we evaluate this claim and look at its historical antecedents. Since about 1970, various versions of the following account have appeared in newspapers, magazines, and the Internet. I'm quoting from it now for several panels. Did you know that the space program is busy proving that what has been called myth in the Bible is true? Mr. Harold Hill, president of the Curtiss Engine Company in Baltimore, Maryland, and a consultant in the space program, related the following development. I think one of the most amazing things that God has for us today happened recently to our astronauts and space scientists at Greenbelt, Maryland. They were checking the position of sun, moon, and planets out in space, where they would be 100 years and 1,000 years from now. We have to know this so that we don't send a satellite up and have it bump into something later on in its orbits. We have to lay out the orbit in terms of the life of the satellite and where the planets will be so the whole thing will not bog down. They ran the computer measurement back and forth over the centuries and it came to a halt. The computer stopped and put up a red signal, which meant that there was something wrong, either in the info fed into it or with the results as compared to the standards. They called in the service department to check it out, and they said, "It's perfect." The IBM head of operations said, "What's wrong?" "Well, we have found that there's a day missing in space and elapsed time." They scratched their heads and tore their hair. There was no answer. One religious fellow on the team said, "You know, one time I was in Sunday school and they talked about the sun standing still." They didn't believe him, but they didn't have any other answer, so they said, "Show us." So he got a Bible and went back to the book of Joshua, where they found a pretty ridiculous statement for anybody who has common sense. There they found the Lord saying to Joshua, "Fear them not, I have delivered them into your hand. There shall not a man among them of them stand before thee." Joshua was concerned because he was surrounded by the enemy, and if darkness fell, they would overpower him. So Joshua asked the Lord to make the sun stand still. That's right. The sun stood still and the moon stayed and hasted not to go down a whole day. Well, they checked the computers going back into the time it was written, and they found it was close, but not close enough. The elapsed time that was missing back in Joshua's day was 23 hours and 20 minutes, not a whole day. They read the Bible, and there it said, about, approximately, a day. These little words in the Bible are important, but they were still in trouble, because if you can't account for 40 minutes, you'll be in trouble 1,000 years from now. 40 minutes had to be found because it can be multiplied many times over in orbits. Well, this religious fellow also remembered somewhere in the Bible and said that the sun went backwards. The spaceman told him he was out of his mind. But they got out the book, and they read the words in 2 Kings 20. Hezekiah, on his deathbed, was visited by the prophet Isaiah, who told him that he was going to die. Hezekiah did not believe him and asked for a sign as proof. Isaiah said, "Do you want the sun to go ahead 10 degrees? Hezekiah said, "It's nothing for the sun to go ahead 10 degrees. Let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. Isaiah spoke to the Lord, and the Lord brought the shadow 10 degrees backward. 10 degrees is exactly 40 minutes. 23 hours, 20 minutes missing in Joshua, plus 40 minutes in 2 Kings makes a missing day in the universe. Isn't that amazing? Our God is rubbing their noses in His truth. That's right. This story was later published by Harold Hill himself in his book, How to Live Like a King's Kid. Well, is the story true? Naturally, many Christians are excited about this story, but others were asking, is it true? Before we try to do some historical sleuthing on the story itself, let's look at the science. How might a computer detect a day missing from past time? For a computer to detect a missing day, it needs to have two sets of information which clash. That is, they differ by day. A calculation of where the sun, moon, and or planets ought to be at some specific time in the past. That's one thing that a computer can do. I have a planetarium program in my laptop computer now that does that very thing. An observation of where they actually were. This is something only ancient observers could do. And then if you had a discrepancy of one day between the two, that would show up. Thus, we need some such observations by ancient observers, both from before Joshua's time and between Joshua's and Hezekiah's time, in order to see that there's a 23-hour, 20-minute discrepancy around Joshua's time, and then another 40 minutes following that between then and now. Well, Joshua's time is not later than 1250 B.C. Many conservative scholars put it back around 1400 B.C. Both these depend on the estimate of the date of the Exodus and how to harmonize the data we have on that. Hezekiah's time is about 700 B.C. So what we need are some observations, first of all, from before about 1400 to 1250 B.C., and then some more observations between 1250 and 700 B.C. of astronomical phenomena that are accurate to a few minutes in order to detect a 23-hour, 20-minute discrepancy in one place and a 40-minute discrepancy in another. Observations which could produce such accuracy and which might be recorded in antiquity are eclipses of the sun. Such eclipses are total only along narrow paths, and they only last a few minutes in a specific locality. So if you knew the location and time within a few minutes of the occurrence of an eclipse of the sun, that would be the kind of observation you need. Other observations, such as an occultation of a star or something of that sort, are not the sort of things that are likely to be recorded in antiquity. But the earliest observation of an eclipse of the sun for which we know a date occurred in the year 1217 B.C., which is after the time of Joshua. See the article Eclipse in the 1970 edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. In any case, ancient eclipse observations are not given with an accuracy of even a few minutes. They occur with an accuracy of a few minutes, but the observations are not recorded with an accuracy of even a few minutes. So confirmation of Joshua's long day by computer seems impossible at present. This strongly suggests that the computer story is a hoax. Well, is the story a hoax? Well, we have another story around. In addition, the main features of this story are older than either NASA or computers. Harry Grimmer, in his Harmony of Science and Scripture, published in 1936, recounts the following story on pages 281-282. I'm quoting from Grimmer. There's a book by Professor C.A. Totten of Yale, written in 1890, which establishes the case beyond the shadow of a doubt. This the condensed account of his book, briefly summarized, is as follows. Professor Totten wrote of a fellow professor, an accomplished astronomer, who made a strange discovery that the Earth was 24 hours out of schedule. That is to say, there had been 24 hours lost out of time. In discussing this point with his fellow professor, Professor Totten challenges man to investigate the question of the inspiration of the Bible. He said, "You do not believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and I do. Now here's a fine opportunity to prove whether or not the Bible is inspired. You begin to read at the very beginning and read as far as need be, and see if the Bible cannot account for your missing time." The astronomer accepted the challenge and began to read. Sometime later, when the two men chanced to meet on the campus, Professor Totten asked his friend if he had proved the question to his satisfaction. His colleague replied, "I believe I've definitely proved the Bible is not the Word of God. In the 10th chapter of Joshua, I found the missing 24 hours accounted for. Then I went back and checked upon my figures and found that at the time of Joshua, there were only 23 hours and 20 minutes lost. The Bible made a mistake of 40 minutes. It is not the Word of God." Professor Totten said, "You're right, in part at least, but does the Bible say that a whole day was lost at the time of Joshua?" So they looked and saw that the text said, "About the space of a whole day." The word "about" changed the whole situation, and the astronomer took up his reading again. He read on until he came to the 38th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. In this chapter, Isaiah has left us the thrilling story of the king Hezekiah, who was sick unto death. In response to his prayer, God promised to add 15 more years to his life. To confirm the truth of his prophet promise, God offered a sign. He said, "Go out in the court and look at the sundial of Ahaz. I will make the shadow of the sundial back up 10 degrees. Isaiah recounts that the king looked, and while he looked, the shadow turned backwards 10 degrees, by which 10 degrees it had already gone down. This settles the case, for 10 degrees on the sundial is 40 minutes on the face of the clock. so the accuracy of the book was established to the satisfaction of this exacting critic. Well, let's compare these two stories, one by Harold Hill and the one by, Notice both include the same three numbers, a whole day missing overall, 23 hours, 20 minutes missing in Joshua's time, 40 minutes missing in Hezekiah's time. You might say, well, here we got two witnesses that confirm the same thing. The complication is, did we have any observations from before Joshua's time when this astronomer that Professor Totten allegedly talked to would have been doing his calculations? Maybe it's that Harold Hill's story is dependent upon this Rimmer story. Here, too, we have a dramatic but rather different story of how a skeptic is brought to see the truth of Scripture. In addition, in Rimmer's story, there's a reference made to a book by C.A. Totten, which dates back to 1890. What do we know about C.A. Totten? Well, Charles Addiel Lewis Totten is listed in Who's Who in America, Volume 1, page 1247. Here's a picture of Totten at his West Point graduation. Totten was a graduate of West Point and a professor of military science at Yale from 1889 to 1892, when he resigned to spend more time on his religious studies. Totten was a British Israelist, believing that the Anglo-Saxons were the lost tribes of Israel. Here's a picture of Totten in his later years. Totten was also an Adventist. He predicted the reign of the Antichrist would take place in 1892 to 1899. Among Totten's many writings is the book Joshua's Long Day in the Dial of Ahaz, published in 1890. This book has been recently reprinted by Destiny Publishers of Merrimack, Massachusetts. When I read Totten's book for the first time, I was a little shocked. The dramatic story of a skeptic convinced does not appear. We don't see any Yale astronomer. Instead, Totten himself, a non-skeptic all along, seeks to show that a total of 24 hours are missing from past time, of which 23 hours, 20 minutes were lost in Joshua's day, and 40 minutes in Hezekiah's. Totten does not actually reproduce his calculations. He merely gives us the results. On pages 39, 59, and 61 of the edition I consulted, that was the third revised edition, 1891, did this before the Merrimack reprinting occurred, the fact emerges that Totten was using an assumed date of creation, 22 September 4000 BC, for the fixed point before the long day of Joshua. Totten takes the first day of creation to be a Sunday by his understanding of Scripture, so that God can rest on the Sabbath, the seventh day, and that's a Friday, Saturday. But calculating back from the present, Totten finds that 22 September 4000 BC was a Monday. He concludes, it can come so by no possible mathematics without the interpolation or intercalation of exactly 24 hours. Totten's presentation tends to obscure his method of discovery. It looks like Totten really started with these 24 hours missing, then decided from the 10 degrees mentioned in the Hezekiah incident to assign 40 minutes to that event, since the sun moves in the sky 10 degrees in 40 minutes, 15 degrees an hour. That leaves 23 hours, 20 minutes to Joshua, which is consistent with about a whole day. Totten has mentioned no fixed point between the times of between the times of Joshua and Hezekiah. Totten, therefore, has no way of showing independently the biblical material that such a division of the 24 hours should be made. His work, then, does not give any independent support to the scripture accounts. Totten does tell us, however, where he got his date of creation. It was calculated by the British Chronological Association, headed up by premier chronologist Jabez Bunting Dimbleby. This group used to publish an almanac entitled All Past Time, by which they claimed to be able to account for every day since creation. Just recently looked on Amazon, and there are several used copies of that available. Examining the British Chronological Association's almanac for 1885, it appears they got their chronology by adding up the numbers given in the received text of the Old Testament, using a liberal supply of speculation regarding ancient methods of keeping the solar and lunar calendars aligned. A few minutes reading of this work convinced me that their method of interpreting scripture is often arbitrary. In the light of archaeology, few conservative Christians would now accept 4000 BC as the date of creation, even among those who believe the earth is much younger than geologists are willing to concede. But Totten's whole scheme depends entirely on knowing the exact day of creation, so that you can show that it ought to be a Sunday and that it calculates to be a Monday. Conclusions. Totten's work has no foundation independent of the Bible, and it's doubtful whether he properly understood Scripture in regard to its fixed point, the date of creation. Sometime between Totten's work in 1890 and Rimmer's in 1936, the results were put in the form of a dramatic story in which Totten becomes a bystander and a skeptical astronomer, the calculator. Since 1936, the story has apparently been updated by the addition of space-age features, including NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center scientists, to replace a lone astronomer, and computers to speed up the tedious calculations. Well, a hoax, then. Does this story have any lessons for us as Christians? Well, we'd all like to see skeptics turn to Jesus. It's sometimes a temptation for us to bend the truth a little to make a stronger argument. The end, eternal life, justifies the means, a little lie, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. This is trying to do God's work using Satan's tactics. In the long run, when God allows the truth to come to light, whether that's just a few years of the Last Judgment, such lies only give unbelievers modern examples by which to claim the Bible writers were guilty of the same things. Instead, Christians should have such a zeal for the truth that unbelievers will come to see that we really have it. We should rebuke the Rimmers, the Hills, and others who have passed on these stories. They, and we, should be careful to check stories, particularly those that are favorable to our position. Certainly, we should not be inventing stories to make Christianity look good. There are excellent evidences for the truth of Christianity, which we've tried to present at our website, www.ibri.org. We believe that those who reject Christianity will have no good answer at the Day of Judgment. In the meantime, let us be active, helping people to see this, while they can still turn to Christ. And let us not be bending truth to try and make our arguments look more persuasive.